Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
I think we're in a position now with what we've been able to do with our fine medical officers at the county level. Of course, the leadership of Dr. Kara Crist and the 24/7 sites that we've put together in Maricopa County with Pima County coming soon. We can distribute all the vaccine that they can get to us. So it really is about supply chain right now.
I am confident. I know that that information, those rumors are not true, but there are a certain number of people, and I think a good number of people in our community that do have distrust. They've heard those rumors and they don't know what to believe.
That's what this is about. They need to use our election as justification for the bills that they are introducing right now. That's what they are. They don't like who's voting, so let's make it more difficult for them to vote.
You know, our focus for 2022 is to build on our federal successes and win at a state level. That means our focus will be from the bottom of the ticket to the top of the ticket, from school board members to our state legislature to the governor's office. And we are in it to fight to elect every Democrat.
And with us to talk about the chosen chairs of the state's political parties, a call for a recount in one of those races, and more, our Chuck Coughlin of High Ground. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Mark.
And Carl Gentles of the Gentles Agency. Carl, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, too.
So let's start off with, Chuck, I have to go with the slightly more controversial selection of Kelly Ward at this point as a state party chair, though we will also get into the fact of whether there's some shenanigans going on there. But what does that say to you about where the party is right now, that even the people it seemed who challenged her were also from the very conservative side of the party?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is the after effects of the Trump presidency and people doubling down on him and that narrative, part of the Republican Party, which has now delivered to consecutive losses for Republicans in Arizona. So we're celebrating personalities rather than policy and victories. You know, I was thinking the other day, how many times have we known who the chair of either party is? And you'd have
well,
to go back
away. Well, the four of us
probably
would, because we're crazy.
Yeah, we're right. But they're not. When you're successful as a party chair, you're not in the news, because I've always said it's the worst job imaginable, because you got to manage all these factions. But that's not what Kelly Ward is all about. She's about her being in the news and not supporting other candidates and not helping a party grow.
Carl, as we move on, I'll have you talk about Kelly Ward as well. But let's start with the Democrats choosing State Representative Raquel Tehran to take over for Felicia Rodellini. What does that say to you about where the Democratic Party is right now?
Well, I think it says that Democratic Party is in a great place, particularly going towards the midterm elections here in the state. Raquel has come up through the ranks, community organizer, activist background, and look, she's going to really help energize the Democratic Party as we try to take one of the houses, if not both the houses of the legislature. And so I'm pretty excited about it. She has a very strong organizing background. She's young, very charismatic. A bit more progressive than Felicia at the top of the ticket. And that's okay, because we need to make sure that we keep our voters engaged over these next 2 years as going to the midterm elections.
Well, Carl, how much work do you think, and how difficult a job does Representative Tehran have going forward? Because as you talked about, you know, the chances of Democrats maybe taking control of one chamber of the legislature, that was really a goal and in some ways an expectation that would have happened last year. And while Democrats certainly won a Senate seat and the presidency in Arizona, which, you know, you can't sneeze at, down ballot, they didn't really do all that well.
Well, I think there's a lot of education has to take place with our Democratic voters. I think one of the biggest things that we saw in this election is, yes, we did turn the Senate seat and we did win the presidency, but down ballot votes didn't occur. And so that means that people went into the ballot box, they voted at the top of the ticket for the president and the Senate candidate, but then they didn't vote down the ticket, down the ballot for their legislative representatives. And that's a big problem. So that undercount of Democratic votes is a huge problem across all of our legislative districts. And I think had that not been the case, you'd see an absolutely different story at the legislature right now. So there's a lot of education. There's a lot of awareness that needs to take place. There's really, and quite frankly, there's a lot of discipline that Democrats need to instill in our Democratic voters to make sure that they stay engaged and they actually vote the full ticket when they go into the ballot box.
You know, guys, and Carl's right about all that. And but what we saw this week on the Democratic side was, you know, Senator Sinema on the national level trying to stand up to create, attempt to create bipartisan legislation with her vote to sustain, or her statement to sustain the filibuster. And then what that brought about immediately was a response from Ocasio-Cortez's PAC to attack her. And they're now engaged in ads to attack her. And so as we've all observed, it's easy to be, you know, it's a much easier position to be in when you're the minority party. When you're a majority party, as the Senate Republicans are now, and you have to govern, it creates challenges. So as Carl has aptly pointed out, Ms. Teran is a long-term organizer with a more progressive background. And what we saw, you know, historically is in midterm elections, the challenge is making sure your base stays motivated and turns out. That didn't happen in 2010 in Obama's first midterm. And then balancing that with how to govern. And, you know, that's going to be the dialogue of this year. It's going to be very interesting for all of us to watch that and how the Democrats struggle to either, like, say, use the budget process to pass a ginormous, you know, controversial aid relief bill, or do they attempt to get, as Biden suggested in his inaugural speech, how to do that on a bipartisan, in a unity budget. So that's really fascinating to watch.
Well, Chuck, let me ask you kind of the converse question that I asked Carl, which is that, you know, obviously with Kelly Ward at the helm of the state party, Republicans lost the presidency, which hadn't happened in a long time, and lost a Senate seat, which hasn't happened in decades in terms of having two Democrats in the Senate. But down ballot, Republicans did fairly well in terms of county seats and legislative seats and some of the others. So what kind of work does the state party need to do? It seems like it has maybe the opposite problem, where people maybe are not quite as excited about the top of the ticket, but maybe more engaged down ballot.
Yeah. Well, I would credit the national GOP victory fund with maintaining those majorities in both houses. They did a tremendous turnout job. As we saw, they did a big registration drive in rural Arizona, and it was well-funded. It was not Kelly Ward. It was not the state GOP. It was the Victory Fund that was run out of the Republican National Committee that I think I would give full credit to maintaining majorities in both bodies. Something to do with the House and Senate leadership at the state level. And so what we're looking at now is a burndown. I mean, there's going to be a decision here if the Republicans double down on the Trump narrative, I see no way for them to win Maricopa County. And so if you can't win Maricopa County, you're not going to win a statewide race. And so it's a giant struggle. And the next 2 years, the next year is going to be fascinating to watch. That's with this narrative that's going on now. I mean, like I said earlier, if they do use the reconciliation process to do the COVID relief bill, I would say that would empower those Trump voters and say, see, they're doing the same thing to us. And then the battle lines continue to go. And so it will be very interesting to see how the national narrative plays out and how that plays into state politics.
Carl, jump in. We'll ask a follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the Republican Party doubles down on the Trump narrative, because like Kelly Ward in Arizona, that's just the gift that keeps on giving. And the more they give, the more Democrats win in Arizona. And so I certainly hope that keeps stays the case. I mean, it's really a circus if you really think about what's been going on over the last several months. And now that you've got Kelly Ward, who's election to state party chair is even questioned whether or not she stole the vote. Now, that is just the most ironic thing I've ever heard, given that people are talking about stop the steal on that side of the fence. So listen, let the circus keep going. It's great for Democrats. It'll help us win in 2022.
Well, Carl, let me jump in with Carl for one quick thing, though. So based on what Chuck had said about this infighting with Ocasio-Cortez and now Senator Sinema, you know, Carl, it's very easy for us to talk about Kelly Ward and Donald Trump because they make headlines very simply. But when parties have success, there's always going to be in the Republican Party, it's going to be conservatives versus moderate. It's progressives versus moderates when it comes to the Democrats. Are there legitimate battles to be fought here? Because Raquel Turan, when I spoke with her, talked about the big tent, as both parties love to mention. How big can the tent actually be? Can there be fighting and yet still be productivity?
Well, sure. I mean, this is like having dinner at the dinner table with your family, and you're not going to agree on everything that you're talking about, especially even not even agree with the food that's on the table. And so, when you're looking at the big tent theory of politics, you're going to have factions in each party. Right now, what's going on in the Democratic Party is no different from what happened when the Tea Party came into power, right? There was a huge internal battle for ideas and the direction of the party. So AOC, of course, has a huge contingency in the Democratic Party. She's very well respected. And so is the faction that Kyrsten Sinema represents. So I think there's room for everybody. It's going to help us sort out the best ideas. And look, Joe Biden at the top of the ticket is the perfect person to bring all this together.
You know, I'd agree with Carl that I think we'd all agree that Trump is the greatest turnout machine for both Republicans and Democrats. He is a gift that keeps on giving. And so what we'll begin to see here is if that dialogue continues, it will destroy the Republican Party. And I think eventually probably destroy the Democratic Party, because we have an electoral system today that encourages extremism in both parties. Democrats and Republicans control their own primaries. And the rule of thumb, as we all know, is the most liberal or progressive and the most conservative gets. And you don't reward what they're trying to do in Washington right now. You don't. It doesn't get rewarded. Compromise. But I loved his inaugural address. I hope he holds to that, because I think that's the best interest of the country, not necessarily the party. We had a president that was all motivated by the party, or I'd say by himself, because now he's talked about forming his own party. But apparently that's not going to happen. But, you know, that's not the success. That's not great news for the country.
Chuck, briefly before we go to break, you mentioned the Victory Fund helping in Arizona in terms of keeping the legislature and some of the other races. Are we moving to a point, do you think, on maybe both sides of the aisle with both Democrats and Republicans, where the party machinery itself becomes less relevant in elections?
Yeah, state parties, because we've seen that as we nationalize these debates, particularly in presidential cycles. And presidential narratives drive a presidential cycle. Gubernatorial narratives tend to drive a gubernatorial cycle more. And state issues come out more. And also fewer voters historically turn out in gubernatorial cycles. So it is the top of the ticket. We've always known that drives the narrative. But as if we continue to down the road of extremism on both sides and vilifying one another, it's going to get more and more difficult for the country to be governed.
And Carl, we'll give you a chance to follow up on that after the break. Chuck Coughlin of High Ground, Carl Gentles of the Gentles Agency, and with Mark Brody in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein in the midst of the Friday Newscap, which continues after this. Good morning. It's the Friday Newscap here on KJZZ 91.5 with Mark Brody in Phoenix. Our guest today, Carl Gentles of the Gentles Agency, and also Chuck Coughlin of High Ground, and I'm Steve Goldstein. Carl, let me give you a follow-up on what Chuck had to say about what Mark asked related to the party structure and how much power the parties frankly have at this point. Statewide.
Well, yeah, I would agree with Chuck that it's the top of the ticket that drives the narrative for sure, and the state party's responsibility is to drive that at the local level. So it's vitally important that we have a strong party structure here in the state, and it's the responsibility really of the party to give voters a reason to come out and vote. And so, you know, while we watch the circus going on the Republican side of the aisle, we have to make sure that we give our voters a reason to come out and vote. And to say to come out to vote against Trumpism or the circus that we see is not enough. We've got to give some real solid reasons why people must come out to vote. For instance, there are a suite of bills down at the legislature right now to drive this voter suppression, strategy that the Republicans have employed. And so those are real reasons to get out and vote and make sure you protect the Arizona and the American democracy. And so I do want to say one thing. Mm-hmm. Chuck said that, I think he said that potentially something about leading to the destruction of the Democratic Party. I am much less worried about the destruction of the Democratic Party. I am more concerned about the destruction of democracy and what the Trump era has brought in. And so I think that has to remain the focus, not whether or not there's infighting within the Democratic or Republican Party. It's what the impact on democracy is having right now.
Chuck, let's talk about the Democratic process a bit as it relates to Republican Party chair selection. I don't know if this is part of the circus that Carl keeps referring to, but what do you make of this? The fact that there are some that are disturbed about the counting of the vote as far as Kelly Ward becoming chair. Is this, again, just sort of a clown show, or is this something to watch closely?
No, it's legitimate. I had people, former chairman, talk to me before the vote on Saturday. And, you know, I'm not a member of the party anymore. I want to be clear about that. I left in 17. I'm a PND, a party not designated. But, you know, I was a lifelong Republican. But yes, I had former party chairman talk to me prior to Saturday's vote who strongly suspected there would be fraud. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, these are people who have, I mean, we've had five audits done by Republicans now. Now we're going to have six and seven by the County Board of Supervisors, which will validate the election here in Maricopa County. And yet nothing will satisfy these people that are part of the narrative of the Republican Party, the QAnon, and this, you know, this self-validating faction that gets its rewards through the internet, through, you know, chat groups, through this type of stuff, is really in charge of the Republican Party right now. And, you know, I do want to say something to Carl. We remember there's fault lines that we all need to remember that we saw in the Hillary race in 2008, where all the Bernie voters sat out. They a lot of them walked away. And so we're seeing this problem on the Republican side right now. And, you know, I've had friends go, oh, it's nothing like that on the Democratic side. I would concede that, but the fault lines exist. And in the system that we have today, they will be exacerbated. There's no doubt in my mind that they will be exacerbated.
Carl, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say it again. Kelly Ward is the best thing that could have happened to the Democratic Party prospects going into 2022. I am thrilled that she has been elected because she's just going to keep the narrative and focus on herself. She's going to keep the circus going. And I couldn't be that's just, again, the gift that keeps on giving. And I would say this, you know, about this election fraud issue in the vote for the Republican state chair seat. You know, usually the things that people rail against the most is the exact same thing they're engaged in. So it's very interesting to watch this war go on within the Republican Party. And if we're lucky, it'll keep on going. So, you know, again, they've been talking about voter suppression. They've been talking about, you know, a fraudulent election. And then now there's a question about the election of her to the state party with, I think, just a narrow vote of, I'd say, 47 votes or something. So very interesting to watch what happens here. And let's just keep it going, Kelly Ward.
I agree wholeheartedly with what Carl said. But what we all need to look at now is 30% of the state electorate, maybe more now, is going to be unaffiliated. If Democrats think they can win that portion of the electorate with an extreme narrative, they are mistaken, because Republicans haven't been able to do that. So a Democratic candidate alone cannot win a statewide election, and a Republican candidate alone. And so the swing vote, which we all ought to pay attention to, because really nobody knows what this group thinks as a group, how to recruit that part of the narrative, but that part of the electorate onto your side.
Chuck, let me jump in for a second, because I want to get your take. And Chuck, you'd referenced the vote this week by the County Board of Supervisors to approve audits of the county's election equipment. When I spoke with Supervisor Steve Chukri ahead of the vote, and he acknowledged that, as you said, there will be some percentage of people who, no matter what that audit finds, no matter how many audits they do that find no problems, will still believe that there were problems. But he seemed to believe pretty strongly that there is a percentage of voters who have questions, who, if the county does this audit and finds that there are no problems, will say, okay, now I believe that there are no problems. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the county doing these audits will change any minds at all?
Well, I've talked to some people on the board, and I believe they are doing the civically responsible thing. I believe it will help partially. I've also believe we need to do like a public education campaign, like, you know, Schoolhouse Rocks, on how your vote gets counted. And I've talked to the board about that, too, because it's allowed this process has allowed people to question that. And we really do need to educate people how this happens, because we need to defeat these. It will only serve. It goes back to Lincoln's quote. We will never be defeated by a foreign power. We will only ever be defeated by ourselves. And we are in the process of doing that. And so I'm hoping that's the outcome, is we do a Schoolhouse Rocks campaign by the County Board of Supervisors and start educating people as to how this happens.
Maybe Chuck and Carl, you guys can team up for a duet on I'm Just a Bill or something.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites. One of my favorites. Absolutely.
The conjunction junction. What's your function?
Carl, do you think that the audits done by the county will change anybody's minds at all?
It will change nobody's mind on the Republican side, period. It doesn't matter how many times the votes are counted, how many times the analysis is done, how many times you slice this thing, no matter what, unless the outcome suggests that the vote would be overturned, it's not going to satisfy people that don't believe in what occurred. And so, this is an attempt to satisfy, you know, those critical of the vote, to try to convince them that it was fair and transparent and accurate. I don't think that's going to end up happening. I don't think in general it is a good idea to give raw data to the Senate and everybody else to take a look at, because effectively people like Giuliani and others will have a backdoor opportunity to come in and take a look around, and that is just inviting trouble. So if it's truly an independent audit, I have every confidence that it'll show that the election was perfectly fine. We'll let the truth stand on its own. But to let somebody get in with the raw data and start digging around and looking for problems, you can always find a problem if you want to find it.
You know, it's interesting Carl says that, because the state Senate here was the one trying to subpoena the vote machines. And the county couldn't give them up because they have to maintain control of those so they can defend legally what their process. But it was interesting that, I don't think anybody's really thought about this, but 10 of the 16 Republicans in the majority caucus in the state Senate were elected in the Republican primary without opposition. I wouldn't call that a really, fair, square group of people who were trying to take the voting machines from the county. And so I thought the county did the right thing in maintaining them and holding them, and now eventually doing the audit once the litigation threat stopped.
You know, let me just say one thing here. You know, it's
briefly,
really interesting,
Carl, please.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see the attack on this, on the election outcomes. when many Republicans won in this election. So is the question that their votes were fraudulent as well, or is it the fact, or is it the case that no, theirs were fine, but everybody else's was okay?
Well, as the Attorney General Brnovich said, yeah, with Adrian Fontes losing, that wasn't a great conspiracy.
Exactly.
Chuck, let me finish up with you. I only have less than a minute, so please make this brief on this one. Going back to what Carl said about, you know, fear of democracy at this point, whether we're losing democracy, the fact that what you both talked about in terms of how many people will be convinced if the audit turns out well, as most, if not all of us expect, you know, what does that say when you're trying to satisfy a very small percentage of people who may just be misguided, frankly?
Yeah, Carl, I agree with Carl. The best tool for Republicans to defeat themselves is to further this conspiracy theory. It's why they lost the two Georgia Senate seats. It's because the president of the United States was causing doubt within Republican voters' minds, and they didn't show up. I mean, it's Georgia, for God's sake. They had Democrats hadn't won a seat down there in a long time, and the president rolled out a narrative that defeated both of those candidates.
We'll have to stop there, gentlemen. That is Chuck Coughlin of High Ground, Carl Gentles of the Gentles Agency. Guys, thanks as always, and take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.